Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Yes, it is about that time. Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports on this Monday, December 11th, 2017. You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM. Really hope you guys had a great one out there. And for those living in the state of Michigan, it was a bit of a cold and snowy weekend. Many of us waking up here in mid-Michigan to the delight of snow. That's right. I tell you what, it's a catch-22 because looking at the snow and looking at the white fluffy stuff, it does get you in the Christmas mood, okay? I only like snow around Christmas. After that, it can say bye-bye, all right? So I'm embracing it. It's getting me in the holiday mood. And I tell you what, we plan on bringing you a very entertaining hour of current sports from 1 to 2 p.m. as we have a lot to try and cover. Those discussion topics include Baker Mayfield, quarterback for Oklahoma, winning the Heisman Trophy over the weekend. Very cool to see Baker take the podium. He has been in the news for some negative stories during the offseason. He's also been in the news for an incident at Kansas that many would not deem sportsmanlike. However, his play on the field is undeniable. Baker Mayfield was the best player in college football this season, all right? Baker Mayfield wins the Heisman Trophy. We'll talk about that moment for him. We'll also talk about your Detroit Football Lions, which actually got a win at Tampa Bay yesterday. How did the Lions do it? Well, it wasn't a pretty game, but a win is a win. Also, a very busy weekend in the world of Michigan State sports, as you had the Michigan State women's volleyball team competing in an Elite Eight matchup out in Pennsylvania at Penn State. You also had the Michigan State hockey team trying to enact a bit of revenge against in-state rival Michigan. You also had the Michigan State men's and women's basketball teams both in action, a doubleheader of action on Saturday afternoon at the Breslin Center. So we'll try and get to all of that. We'll recap all of that. We'll have coverage from the Michigan State men's basketball game against Southern Utah. Locker room interviews, including one epic rant from Michigan State men's basketball coach Tom Izzo. And then on the back end of the show, we will talk about two Detroit Tigers legends who will be enshrined into baseball Hall of Fame lore, and we'll have weekend winners for you. We'll do all of that by also, while welcoming you all to current sports to weigh in, multiple ways in which you can do so. Pick up the phone and dial 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. You can also join us via social media. Live stream is up and running at facebook.com/currentsports and tweet us at Al Martin, WKAR, or at WKAR underscore sports. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. right, and we start with the Michigan State women's volleyball team. The number 12 Michigan State women's volleyball squad's magical 2017 season came to a conclusion on Saturday evening as the green and white fell to number one overall seed Penn State 3-1, the final. Two really close sets, though, 23-25, 17-25, and 26-28. How about that? Michigan State, which was appearing in the NCAA regional final for the first time since 1996, put up a valiant effort versus the Nittany Lions, but came up against another senior-laden team and fell just short of a Final Four appearance. Michigan State finishes its season with a 24-9 record this year. Penn State is 33-1 and will play Nebraska in the NCAA semis next week. Senior Rachel Menarik from Illinois. She has been named a College Sports Information Directors of America First Team Academic All-American, as announced by the organization today. Menarik, a four-year starting setter for the Spartans, is just the second first-team academic All-American in Michigan State volleyball program history. Michigan State has had several satisfying victories this season, but the MSU hockey team really hasn't had one as memorable, I should say, and rewarding as Friday's 5-0 domination of in-state rival Michigan. Now, in front of a raucous crowd of a little over 6,000 at Munice Arena, the Spartans rebounded from their most disappointing loss of the season on Thursday with a spirited, energetic performance that led to a convincing blanking of the Wolverines and a split of their Big Ten series. The Spartans have one game left before the players leave for Christmas break. They'll play an exhibition game against the U.S. under-18 team come this Saturday at USA Arena in Plymouth. Michigan State returns from the break a few days after Christmas to prepare for the annual Great Lakes Invitational, which will take place on January 1st to the 2nd at Little Caesars Arena in downtown Detroit. It's the first GLI at LCA, and it's being held later than usual because of scheduling issues at the new arena, with the NHL's Red Wings and NBA's Pistons now sharing the building. Michigan State men's basketball put four players in double figures and used a run in the late stages of the second half to break open a close game en route to an 88-63 win over Southern Utah on Saturday night at the Breslin Center. Michigan State ranked number 3 in the Associated Press and today USA Today coaches poll. But I will say, the new rankings have just come out, and I'll tell you where Michigan State sits in just a moment. It may be surprising to a few of you out there. Michigan State, though, with the win against the Thunderbirds, improved to 9-1 overall. And an 8th straight win for Tom Izzo's team. Sophomore guard slash forward Miles Bridges scored 17 points. He had 11 boards and tied his career high with 6 assists. And freshman forward Jaron Jackson Jr. had 17 points and tied a career high 13 rebounds to lead the Spartans. Sophomore Nick Ward added 17 points, 6 boards, and 3 block shots. And sophomore guard Cassius Winston chipped in 15 points, 5 assists. 4 Spartans in double-digit scoring. The Spartans are off this week for final exams and will return to action on December 16th to play Oakland University at Little Caesars Arena, downtown Detroit. Michigan State women's basketball led wire to wire, defeating Rhode Island 82-38 Saturday afternoon, just before the men tipped off against Southern Utah at the Breslin Center. With the win, Susie Merchant Spartans improved to 6-3 overall, while the Rams fall to 1-8 this season. Michigan State was led by 17 points from freshman forward Sydney Cooks, which was 1 point shy of her career high. She scored 18 in a win against the College of Charleston on November 19th. Cooks was one of 4 players to reach double figures against the Rams. The Spartans will take a break for finals and return to action also on Saturday, December 16th at East Tennessee State. Tip-off for that one is scheduled for 7 p.m. Seattle Seahawks rookie defensive lineman Malik McDowell was arrested for disorderly conduct early Sunday morning after getting into an argument at a nightclub outside of Atlanta. That's according to reports in USA Today and TMZ Sports. McDowell is a former Michigan State football standout. He has not played for the Seahawks this season after suffering a concussion in an off-season ATV accident and is on injured reserve. At around 2:21 a.m. one Sunday, McDowell got into a verbal altercation with an employee in front of SL Lounge in Georgia, according to the report filed by Chamblee Police Department. McDowell later got into an argument with police officers who struggled to subdue McDowell, according to the report. And it's also being reported that that argument was due to McDowell saying that he had paid $600 for bottles of liquor as well as a VIP booth in the club. Just bottom line ridiculousness. So there you have that. All right, the Detroit Lions. Yeah, Lions kicker Matt Prater nailed a 46-yard field goal in the closing seconds to beat the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It was an ugly game, though. 24-21, the final of that one. The victory stopped a two-game skid and kept the Lions, which sit at 7-6 now, in playoff contention with three games remaining. Matthew Stafford, quarterback, made his 109th consecutive start despite being limited in practice after his right hand was stepped on during the previous week at Baltimore at the Ravens. He completed 36 of 44 attempts against the Bucs, and the Lions overcame two interceptions and a fumble to stay alive for a playoff spot. I must say, I was very surprised at how Matthew Stafford was able to shake off that hand injury and put together that kind of performance. The Detroit Lions will now return home to take on the Chicago Bears on Saturday. That will be a Saturday afternoon kickoff at around 4:30 p.m. The Boston Celtics prevented Andre Drummond from scoring in the paint and quieted Reggie Jackson on the perimeter. That helped Boston get revenge from a rare loss in a 91-81 win over the Detroit Pistons yesterday. When Detroit beat the Celtics last month, Drummond scored 26 points. Jackson had 20. In the rematch, Drummond didn't make a shot until late in the game and finished with just 6 points, 1 of 5 shooting. Jackson 0-for-9 with 2 points. The Pistons will end a three-game homestand come this Tuesday night as they will welcome Gary Harris, former Michigan State basketball standout, and the Denver Nuggets to Little Caesars Arena. And last but certainly not least, Detroit Tigers fans have been waiting on this news. They together helped deliver Detroit's last baseball championship back in 1984. And now, the great Alan Trammell and Jack Morris are headed to baseball's Hall of Fame. Trammell, a magnificently polished shortstop and sturdy hitter, he joined Morris, a furious right-handed starter, when they were announced yesterday evening as winners following a vote by the Modern Era Committee. It will be enshrined in July at Cooperstown, New York. And I actually tuned into the press conference of the great Jack Morris, and he was very emotional and very humbled and thrilled at this long-time coming honor. Very cool stuff. Congrats to Alan Trammell and Jack Morris. Also want to note, too, I see this news has just come through the wire. Josiah Scott, Michigan State cornerback. Josiah Scott has been named a first-team freshman All-American by ESPN.com. Scott became just the third true freshman position player under Mark D'Antonio to start in his collegiate debut and never looked back, starting in 11 games overall at corner during the season. The most ever by a freshman position player in the D'Antonio era. Also, the Michigan State football banquet that took place over the weekend. We will bring to you the names and honorees from that ceremony later on this hour. That and so much more. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's start the show.
So delightful. And since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. It doesn't show signs of stopping, and I've brought some corn for popping. The lights are turned way down low. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. When we finally kiss goodnight.
I don't know where you came up with the argument on the bench just to call you out like I get called out, but that wasn't me. Those are the things that make me want to get real guarded, because I can take them even though I get angry over it. Because I think our fans should be a little more grown up after 23 years of more guys taking more than Nick Ward took. Because I didn't even get on Nick Ward. I just benched him. I get people calling me, he's going to transfer. Well, if he wants to transfer, then he should transfer. But, you know, that's the talk radio idiots. And I mean that. Because that's what causes problems on a highly ranked team, that everything is scrutinized, and you got to be able to take that. And you got to be able to handle that. But I don't need my own people poisoning the pot. So that's my statement. You know, you guys must not know me as well as you think you know. Because you've been with me a long time. Has that ever changed? Ever changed? Yeah, I'll tell you when it changed. Instead of yelling at him, I did something better. I just said, enjoy the seat next to me, brother. And you know what? That might not have been good for us. It's probably healthier for me. But that was a little different for you guys. And yet, if I would have done the other way, scrutinized the same way. So it's not easy to coach in this market anymore. It's not easy to coach with the social media that we got. So I'm on a little rampage here, so you gotta live with it, because I get one shot too. And I got a really good team, and I got really, really, really good guys.
As long as you love me so, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Oh, it doesn't show signs of stopping, and I've brought some corn for popping. The lights are turned way down low. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Ah, yes, let it snow. A little Michael Bublé for you all. Getting you into the Christmas mood, the Christmas spirit on this December 11th. Monday, December 11th, 2017. Christmas right around the corner. I really hope you guys are having a great holiday season out there. Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. And is there any other way to start today's current sports other than playing, of course, Tom Izzo's absolutely epic rant after the win over Southern Utah on Saturday night? Oh, boy. You know, I was a bit under the weather on Saturday, and our very own Isaac Constance did a great job shooting the game, and he had some post-game reaction. He was there shooting the press conference of Tom Izzo and a few locker room interviews that we'll be bringing to you later on this hour, because I'm going to dive into the game in just a moment. But I am curious to get the thoughts of our listeners after last week on Wednesday's Current Sports. I just kind of went off, and I just had a rant of my own. I went on a bit of a rampage of my own after reading a few comments that were left underneath that day's Current Sports Radio's live stream. We had a few callers that weighed in as well that wanted to discuss Tom Izzo's benching of Nick Ward. Ward only playing 11 minutes in the win, the 10-point win over Rutgers. And many of you were very upset about that. Many of you took to social media to express that. Heck, even Nick Ward's mom got on Twitter and took a bit of a jab at Tom Izzo and the program. And I defended Tom Izzo. You know, I thought it was absolutely ridiculous how many people were coming at him, and you weren't looking at the bigger picture. And Izzo heard that criticism, and he read that criticism. And, you know, Izzo was asked by Brendan Quinn. I believe Brendan, where is Brendan at now? I believe he's with M Live, I believe. And he basically asked Tom, I mean, what do you make of the criticism of Nick Ward? And by the way, Ward had a pretty good bounce back game, right? I mean, he really responded after being benched by Izzo against Rutgers. Ward played great, 17 points, 6 rebounds, 3 block shots. But Izzo was asked about the whole situation, and he went on a rant that lasted, and I clocked it, lasted about 8 minutes. Got a lot of traction. We put it up on our WKAR.org website. We uploaded on YouTube, and that YouTube viewership was around about 300 views the last time I saw it, but it's posted there. But that was Izzo's thoughts, and he was not happy. Actually, even at one point, as you heard in the beginning of that intro, he pointed at our dear friend Chris Solari, Michigan State beat reporter for the Detroit Free Press, and he wasn't happy about Solari's recount of the bench interaction between Nick Ward and Izzo. So, and that's typical Izzo. I love Coach Izzo because he's always going to be honest with you. He is always going to keep it 100. If he feels like his program has, or if he feels like the criticism isn't just in regards to his coaching ability or his program period, he is not going to sit back and let that dialogue just spew. He is going to fire back, and he is going to be critical of those who have criticism that he feels is not just. And that is exactly what happened. And I loved it. I loved each and every minute of it because he made some fantastic points. And at the end of the day, probably my favorite line, other than the talk radio idiots, which I loved, but probably my favorite line was that, hey, I have a job to do. I have a job to do. You can sit on the sidelines all day. You can come to the Breslin Center and watch the games all day or sit on your couch and look at this team every single game. At the end of the day, Tom Izzo is the head coach of this program and has been for 20-plus years. He has had immense success. He's won a national championship. He's gone to, about 7 Final Fours. He's won the Big Ten championship numerous times. I think he knows what he's doing. But I absolutely love the rant, and we'll get to the more details of the Michigan State win over Southern Utah, because it wasn't an easy one like many of us expected it to be. Southern Utah, the Thunderbirds, man, they manned up. They said, look, and that's the thing, you know, that's the thing about games like that. And when you're playing Michigan State, a top 5 program in the nation, you're going to get every team's best shot. Every team is going to come at you and say, hey, man, we got an opportunity here to make some history, make our just a little segment of history here. If we can knock off the Spartans, let's just go out there, let our hair down and play basketball. And that's exactly what the Thunderbirds did. In the end, though, Michigan State, you know, looking at the final score, they did blow them out, but it was not easy. But, you know, I see we got 2 callers already. And I want to get to Dave and Mike. Stay right there. Isaac, I'm curious, because you were there for that post-game press conference. I just want to know, when Izzo was asked that question by Brendan Quinn, and when Izzo began to go on this 8-minute, as he called it, rampage, what was the mood like in the room?
Quiet. Very quiet.
Were you guys looking at each other saying, oh, my gosh, what is going on here? What was just the kind of just the interaction with among other media members took place?
The rant ended up going, I think, about 8 minutes.
It
and
did.
When I told you about it, I totally overestimated it because Izzo was just.
It felt like 20. Gosh. Yeah, you said 20.
Yeah.
But it felt like 20.
It seemed like unlimited ammunition. He could have kept going for longer. And at the end of it, you heard Izzo say, you know, I'll get off before Matt Larson, the media director for men's basketball, pulls me off. He doesn't want another answer like this. But that's what's great about Izzo, is you get this candidness. It gets positive reception from the fans. And he's able to call a few people idiots, including you and myself, which I love. And
well, I tell you, I was right, and I had his back.
No, me too. And his me too. Thing, but you know what just I mean? The yeah. talk radio idiots
yeah,
in general.
Certain
but
talk radio idiots. I don't know who he's referring to, because I don't know who else
yeah.
criticized him that, you know. Well, I don't know who criticized him. Now, who else? We didn't criticize him.
No,
I don't know who criticized him on the radio when it came to that. But yeah,
but
I hear
talk
you.
Radio, you know, that's the nature of the beast, to blow things out of proportion. And as he went along, he got progressively more and more irritated. Just thinking of the thought that he could be criticized for benching a player, that he could be criticized, a coach with over 20 years of experience, a national championship, could be criticized for benching one player. And that was pretty absurd. I think it made a lot of sense. It was very logical the way he formulated this response. But at the same time,
I loved it, yeah.
boy, he was upset at everybody in the room. And you could feel the tension, especially with certain media members.
Mm-hmm. Talk about awkward. I felt awkward watching it. But then I'm sitting there watching it like, oh, man, go get at him, Izzo. Go ahead, man. It was very entertaining
it
stuff.
Was.
Again, if you did not see that entire rant, again, it lasted about 8 minutes. You can check it out on our website at WKAR.org. Trust me, it is worth each and every minute, folks. So in just a moment, we're going to dive into the specifics of that game. I do, before we get to our two callers who are patiently waiting, I do want to acknowledge Baker Mayfield winning the Heisman Trophy over the weekend. I thought that the voters got it right. Baker Mayfield had an incredible season. And you know, it's so interesting, though, because this thought did cross my mind as I watched the Heisman Trophy ceremony presentation. I mean, you look at, you know, Lamar Jackson, and Lamar Jackson is so intriguing to me. Lamar Jackson, of course, quarterback at the University of Louisville. Lamar's 2017 may have been better than his 2016. When you really look at the numbers, you know, this fall, Jackson became the second player in top-tier college football to pass for 3,400 yards and rush for 1,400 in the same season. Who is the first, you ask? Jackson, last year, when he capped a breakout year by, of course, winning the Heisman Trophy. Now, he was a finalist again this year, but the reason, one of the big reasons why Baker Mayfield got the edge here is because it kind of reminds me of how the NBA's most valuable player is won. You got to be the best player on the best or one of the best teams. And that's the thing about Baker Mayfield. I mean, heck, you look at the numbers for Mayfield. My goodness. I mean, he's a senior who threw 41 touchdown passes, but he led his team also to the college football playoff. Jackson and Louisville, they hit a few bumps in the road this season. They are not going to be competing in the college football playoff. But Lamar, he was fantastic. Fantastic. You know, last year's Cardinals were 9-3 with the final two losses coming late in the season. This year, the Cardinals were 8-4 with losses to lower tier teams. And when you lose to lower tier teams, and when you are the quarterback, the most important player on the football field for your program, and you lose games like that, you're going to take a lot of blame. The fact that Mayfield was so good this year, so good, the Sooners going 12-1, while Jackson's Cardinals finishing the season 8-4. When you're that good, and when your team is winning, and when you're competing for a national championship, you better believe that you are going to get the Heisman Trophy. And you know, Mayfield, I mean, he passed for 4,340 yards, 41 touchdowns, 5 INTs, had a 71% completion rate. That is absolutely mind-boggling. And he was also pretty good on the ground when using his feet, too. I mean, he rushed for 310 yards, 5 touchdowns. That included also that 54-yard run against Texas Christian in the Big 12 championship game. Isaac, I think they got it right. I love Lamar Jackson. And you know, overall, Lamar Jackson, get this, he passed or ran for 42 of the Cardinals' 59 touchdowns this season. That is absolutely remarkable. But again, it does remind you, right, a lot of how the NBA's voting in the of the MVP goes, right? I mean, you got to be the best player on the league's best team or one of the league's best teams, right? That's how it customarily goes in the NBA. Baker Mayfield was great all year despite how many, and I'm going to call them out, how many Michigan fans did not like that Baker Mayfield won the Heisman Trophy, because this is what they go to, Isaac. He has character flaws, right? They bring up the incident with the with him drunk on camera in the offseason. They bring up the incident against Kansas, which, by the way, Baker did try to shake the hands of Kansas before the game. They said, no, we don't want to do that. And they turned around and went to the sideline. And then you saw Baker, and I didn't agree with the gesture. It was pretty lewd. And come on, dude, you got to be smarter than that. But at the end of the day, I mean, Baker Mayfield, I love his emotion. I love his competitiveness. And you cannot deny that he was so, so good this season.
He's a college kid, for one. Number two, we're not basing this off, do you like the guy? Because the thing is, if you've ever played against him, if you're competing against him, you hate him. You absolutely hate him. And isn't that the sign of a good player? Did people like Johnny Manziel? No. Was there any question that Johnny Manziel should have been a Heisman Trophy winner? No. Johnny Manziel was one of the most captivating, thrilling players to ever watch on a college football field, and not to give him that trophy would have been a crime. With Mayfield receiving, what was it, 87, I believe, percent of the voting, it would have been equally as horrendous to not give Baker Mayfield this Heisman Trophy. The thing is, you know, you talk about Lamar Jackson carrying the Louisville Cardinals on his back, and Bryce Love did the same with the Stanford Cardinal, carrying them on their back. At the same time, Baker Mayfield did that exact same feat, carrying his team on his back. He's done it for a while, and guess where they wound up? In the college football playoff. That's the difference. Baker Mayfield, for me, is what if Brett Favre went to a big school? Instead of Southern Miss, what if he went to a big school? I think they've got similar personalities, similar demeanors on the football field, and both are unafraid, reckless abandon. I love watching the guy play. Even if some of the off-field antics can get a little bit old at times, they are so fun to watch, and they add so much to college football.
No, we didn't see Brett Favre, though. You know, what did Baker did? He grabbed his lower region.
He did.
And then, we didn't see Brett Favre
and
doing stuff like
that.
And
said a few things.
Yeah, he did. Now, Brett did have some problems, though. He will say that later on in his career. But, you know, I love Baker Mayfield. I mean, and this is a dude who was a walk-on transfer. Amazing. Amazing. It's a miracle, folks. Go out there and get it. I mean, he is the perfect example of that, dude. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Mike and Dave, I see you. I want to hit this first break. When we come back, we'll get to your phone calls. We'll also talk Detroit Lions, and we'll recap the incredible busy weekend it was in Michigan State Athletics. That and more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Just wrapped up segment A. In just a moment, we'll talk about your Detroit Football Lions sitting at 7-6 with a 24-21 win over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on the road yesterday. I must say, though, the Lions didn't look good. Don't buy it, folks. I'm just saying, do not buy it. The Lions may have won, but that was one ugly game. So many turnovers, just sloppy. If you got thoughts on the Lions, if you got thoughts on Michigan State basketball, men or women, and by the way, I do want to bring this news to you all. The latest rankings have come out. And when it comes to the Associated Press Top 25, and you know, many expected Michigan State to possibly be numero uno in the country. But how about the Villanova Wildcats? Coming in at number one in both the AP and USA Today coaches poll, Michigan State at number two, sitting at 9-1 on the season. Villanova is 10-0, but we saw some upsets, two upsets when it came to Kansas. And then we saw Duke also fall to Boston College. So many thought because of that you know, maybe Izzo and the Spartans will move up to number one. But Villanova has that honor at least for this week. Line one, we've got Dave from Wyoming. Dave, how you doing?
Hello, Al.
What's up, my man?
Well, first, you know, congratulations to women's volleyball. You know, anybody thought they'd hit the Elite Eight this year, I think, was probably would have been told that was wishful thinking. And for the Big Ten, they end up with six teams out of the final 16 shows you how tough volleyball has gotten in the Big Ten Conference. So
best conference in the nation. Best conference in the nation.
That's a big deal.
Yep.
But about the whole Izzo thing, I guess, I had this argument with some of my Michigan fans who said, well, Beilein doesn't have that problem. And I said, look at Nick Ward. He signed in fall of 15, right? He was an early signee. When he signed, Michigan State, they had Deonte Davis and they have Schilling on board. And so Ward wasn't expected to have that many minutes. And then Deonte Davis leaves and they get Carter in. Well, he blows his knee out and Schilling blows his knee out. So last year was, Nick Ward played a great job as a freshman, but he was playing minutes he probably wouldn't have gotten if those injuries hadn't occurred and Deonte Davis hadn't decided to go to the NBA.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was very fortuitous to him. This year, Schilling's back, Carter's back, and Miles Bridges came back, who can play a 2-3 or a 4, and they've got Jackson, who can play a 3-4 or a 5. So suddenly there's four guys on that team who can play minutes that Ward was pretty much awarded by default, and I'm not counting Goins, who I think continually plays out of position. But, mm-hmm. You know, I think for Ward to sit there, one was a little bit of, I'll call it immaturity. He's always been the man when he was in high school. He was always he was the man when he was playing AAU ball. And he was the man last year because, well, Michigan State didn't have anybody else to be the man down low. This year, things have changed, and I'm guessing that Izzo had a conversation reminding him of that fact that, hey, a whole lot of things have changed on the bench between this year and last year, and I have other options. If you're not doing what we think you need to do, you can sit down and watch other people try to do that. That's about my point. Thanks.
Very good point, Dave, and I have to agree with you. I mean, that's what Tom Izzo was trying to get through the skull of Nick Ward. That night out in Piscataway, New Jersey, Nick Ward. And the big thing is, if you're going to play for Tom Izzo, you got to play defense. And that was the biggest thing. Nick Ward's effort defensively just it wasn't cutting the mustard in that game. Tom Izzo took him out, gave him a little talk, put him back out there, and it was the same old song. And then he took him out again. They had a conversation. And then you know what he said? All right, well, As Tom said on Saturday night, well, enjoy this seat next to me, brother. I love that. Tom Izzo, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. And looking at how Ward performed on Saturday, I mean, he was great. Nick Ward was great. Despite the free throw line, Nick Ward had a pretty good game against Southern Utah. A big catalyst as to why the Spartans were able to pull out that unexpectedly competitive game against the Thunderbirds. Line two, Mike from Saginaw. Mike, how you doing?
How you doing, Mr. L. Martin? I just went to get an eye exam today. They told me I have perfect vision, so I guess I know what I'm talking about after a while.
So we know, now that you have 20/20 vision, Mike, we know that anytime you bring a take here on current sports, I know that you've seen it with crystal clear eyes, huh? There we go.
There you go. There you go, man.
All right.
Before I talk to Bob, Michigan State, if the Pistons crowd is so corporate now and they can't get up and make noise anymore, what's going on with that crowd?
The Pistons crowd, well, the thing is, there's no one there. That's the thing, Mike. No one's coming to the games right now. You know, I think that there will probably be more fans this weekend when Michigan State takes on Oakland at Little Caesars Arena than at an average Detroit Pistons basketball game. It's upsetting because, you know, despite the losing streak the red, white, and royal blue currently are on, I think that, you know, for the most part, the Pistons have been pretty successful this season. We won't see crowds come to LCA to check out the Pistons until they start winning and doing it consistently and proving that they are legit contenders in the NBA's Eastern Conference. Because right now, there really is no buzz around this team. And there's not that one player. They don't have a superstar. They don't have a player that you just want to come out and see because they're so compelling and they're so dominant. Andre Drummond is good, but he's not a superstar in the league, right?
He's not a super duper star. They talk about on ESPN and all those chat shows during the daytime hours. So
yeah, he's not Kevin Durant or Steph Curry or LeBron. I mean, come on now. Yeah,
they only talk. You know what? I looked at Draymond Green. You know what, man? I never thought he is such a great defensive player.
Isn't he?
You can look at him and really notice how good defensively he really is on that team, man.
It's amazing
because you know. If the way the Pistons was playing, they almost came back and forth overtime, but he is so good defensively on that team, man. He's just so important to that team. He really, really is, man. Here's what I want to tell you about Michigan State.
Okay.
Michigan State, I know Cassius Winston has really proved his perimeter shooting and things, and Langford's getting better, and he's proven his what about Schilling and what about, is Ben Carter and everything, do he still got some post-up players or are they still all perimeter players?
No, I mean, you look at Schilling. I mean, I believe what Schilling had like 6 points in 11 minutes on Saturday. Ben Carter, I think, is still trying to find a groove because when he comes in, he plays in spurts. I mean, he only had, he only played 4 minutes on Saturday. I know he's coming off an injury, and I think that maybe he's thinking a bit about that knee injury at times. But you know, I would like to see more consistency from Ben Carter. But you know, you have Kenny Goins, who played 12 minutes on Saturday. Still, this team is still a work in progress right now, Mike. And I think that when you evaluate when Nick Ward and a Jaren Jackson Jr. goes out the game for that front court. You know, you got to look at players, especially Schilling. I think that we have yet to see what Gavin Schilling, the kind of impact that we can really expect from him, or that we were expecting from him, come before the injury last season. I mean, he's such a big body. He's such a physical nature down there. I think we've yet to see how good Gavin Schilling really is. So, and that'll come with time. That'll come with time, Mike.
One thing that Todd Simon, too, head coach of SUU, said. From Fowlerville, went to Central Michigan.
Yep.
He coached at Finley Prep and coached pros such as Anthony Bennett, Tristan Thompson, including Avery Bradley as well. He said Gavin Schilling is the best screen setter that he has ever coached. Mm-hmm. That's a big name and big award coming from a guy like Todd Simon, who's really been around the block.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So, yeah, we'll see that production.
Let me ask you one more question.
Okay.
LCC got a player called Requavius Southward. He's from Saginaw. He went to Saginaw High School. Matter of fact, he stays a block away from my house in Saginaw.
All right.
And Brandon Giles of East Lansing. I want to know how good is he really is, man. How good he is,
Only time
man.
Will tell, Mike.
And also And I got one more. Do you listen to podcasts and tell me some of your favorite podcasts, man? Thanks, Al.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate it, Mike from Saginaw. Yeah, I listen to a few podcasts, and I tell you what, there's one that I'm listening to right now, Mike, called The Exorcist. I'm a big, like, horror podcast guy. The most recent one I'm listening to right now is called The Exorcist. It's made by, oh my goodness, it's one company. They do a fantastic job at it, but I'm like three in, and it's like a storybook that, you know, it's taking you through the real story behind the making of the first Exorcist movie.
Huh.
Oh, it's so creepy good, man. It's so good. So I'm listening to that. Also, you know, Jalen Jacoby, I listen to that from time to time because those, you know, Jalen from the D, he gives a Detroit perspective on Detroit sports that I really, really like. So also Lily Singh, I like her podcast as well. I'm a big fan of her. So those are three to check out. And I tell you, Mike is just everywhere sometimes. I forget what he said before that, but keep calling in, Mike.
Brandon Johns.
We don't know just yet because this is the thing about Brandon Johns. He's so athletically gifted, and he's so talented, Isaac, that he really has no equal here in mid-Michigan, right?
No.
So that's the thing. I wish I could watch Brandon when he played in AAU in the summertime because that's just another level of competition. That's where Brandon's talent level is, competing against some of the best in the nation. He makes it look so easy on Tuesday and Friday nights, balling out for Steve Fenimore's East Lansing Trojans. We'll see as the season moves along because, you know, that competition will grow as East Lansing will compete again for a state championship appearance. But he makes it look so easy right now because the competition just isn't up to par to where his talent level is right now. And to go back to his point about Draymond Green as well, I mean, yeah, Draymond Green is he's the heart and soul of the Warriors. He is the best defensive player on that Warriors team. And something I thought was pretty cool is that, you know, I heard that Draymond Green, a friend of mine who's a reporter, he was shadowing FSD for that night as the Pistons took on the Warriors down at Little Caesars Arena. He's an aspiring reporter. He said that Draymond Green, actually, he had a lot of people, of course, from his hometown out in Saginaw there for the game. But when it came to the local media who have covered Draymond dating back to his time out in Saginaw, dating back to his time at Michigan State, before he talked to the national media, he said, you know what? I want to talk to the local guys first. How classy is that, right? Draymond Green never forgetting where he's from. You know, the monetary, dedication that he had for the strength and conditioning center that he has at Michigan State, deciding to donate, you know, about $3 million to that. Draymond Green has never forgotten where he's from, and he's always looking out for those that knew him before he became the big celebrity that he is now. I thought that was really, really cool stuff. And Reggie Jackson, pass the ball. Pass the basketball, dude. The Pistons had a chance to win that game, Isaac.
I saw Reggie that Jackson, play. I know the exact play you're
so
talking about.
I'm so frustrated with him, dude. I went on a Twitter rampage after that play. I mean, the dude decides to play hero ball. He's trying to make ESPN Sports Center. I feel like Reggie Jackson is one of those players. You know, he played on that team with Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant and James Harden. You know, he was like that guy coming off the bench and having some production, right? I feel like Reggie has in his mind that he's as good as those guys.
He does.
And he wants to prove it. And when it comes down to a moment like that, you're playing the NBA's best. You're on national television. This just wasn't a Fox Sports Detroit game. This game was on ESPN. You got the ball in your hands. Here is my opportunity to show the world that Reggie Jackson deserves to be in that conversation. And you saw what happened. You frustrate me, Reggie Jackson. You really do. Let's hear our final break. When we come back, we will roll in two bites from Saturday's Michigan State men's basketball game as they top Southern Utah. You'll hear from Miles Bridges as well as Nick Ward. And we'll close out the show with weekend winners. That and so much more. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. As we've noted throughout this hour, specifically in our quick hit headliners, it was a very busy weekend in the world of Michigan State sports. I do want to give a salute and shout out to Kathy George and the Michigan State women's volleyball team, making the Elite Eight in the NCAA tournament for the first time since 1996. They put up a great fight against numero uno Penn State, the Nittany Lions, which will probably win the whole thing if you ask me. I caught the majority of that matchup between the Spartans and the Nittany Lions out in Pennsylvania. Kathy George and her team, great effort, great season, and also, again, congratulations to Rachel Menarik, who has been named a College Sports Information Director of America, first-team academic All-American honoree. Very cool stuff there. Also, Danton Cole, what a rebound effort after the shutout loss out in Ann Arbor at Yost Arena against in-state rival the Michigan Wolverines. Michigan State coming back to shut out the Wolverines at Mount Ice Arena. Very impressive stuff. And as we've been noting, Michigan State women's basketball, they topped Rhode Island, made it look easy. And I tell you what, I love watching Shay Collie play. I caught a few of those highlights. She is a joy to watch on the basketball court. Again, we've been talking about the MSU men's basketball win over Southern Utah. I do want to roll in two bites here. First, Miles Bridges. You know, I just noted that Michigan State this week is ranked number 2 in both polls in the AP Top 25 and the USA Today Coaches Poll. Many people thought that Michigan State would possibly be ranked numero uno, considering a few teams got upset like Duke against Boston College and Kansas twice. Michigan State sitting at number 2. Isaac, you got a chance to chat with Miles Bridges about what being ranked number 1 would mean to the team, and here's what Miles had to say.
It really doesn't matter to us. We just want to continue to get better because that ranking can be taken away like that. So we just want to continue to get better.
When you see this team from last year go from you playing the 4 often to now you guys have 12 blocks to 0 in this game, you've got 15 rebounding advantage. What does that say about how this team's evolved?
Just everybody's active on the team, especially our bigs. They get block shots all the time, and I try to get rebounds off their block shots too. So everybody's just active on defense. That's what makes our team great.
And then how about Cassius from the three-point line? What have you noticed there?
Cash, he's been shooting the ball really well, the best on the team so far. Every time he puts up a shot, I think it's going in. So I have all the confidence in the world in Cassius.
When a team like Southern Utah goes out there, they're just yeah. It seems like they're hitting every three that they take, no matter how well you guys are defending. Maybe what does that do to you guys, your psyche?
That's why we try to approach every game like it's a Final Four game or a big game, because anybody could come in here and beat us or get hot like that. So we just tried to wear them down the whole game.
Do you think you guys have been doing a good enough job of, you know, resisting kind of everyone's A-plus effort?
Yeah, I mean, everybody's going to try to give us their best shot. And they did a great job at that today.
Yeah, Southern Utah certainly did. That was a gritty win for the Spartans. Also, here's Nick Ward. Nick Ward had a three-pointer, his first collegiate three-pointer at Michigan State University. Here's Nick's comments after the win.
Way, you know, it's something. I just had a bad night. You know, it happens, you know. Me and coaches have a great relationship. It happens, you know. People just took a little too far with all the rumors I heard and things like that. But, you know, it's in the past, and we're just going to move on, ready for it with Oakland.
Is there, like, in terms of the maturation process, stuff like that, are you able to find some positives or whatever to kind of take away from this in terms of kind of how that?
Well, you know, to stay positive and keep my body language. Body language is a big part that I learned, that people interpret things even when I don't say anything about my body language. So, you know, that was a big part of things.
Nick, last year you played the 5 a lot of the games last season, and, you know, this game, a 15 rebounding advantage, 12 blocks to 0. What about the big men on this team? Does it do for your game?
You know, it helps me a lot, you know, because you can't
it's gonna be hard to double off me if you have him in the 3-point area or the short corner. So you know, it's really pick your poison type feel.
That one guy in Southern Utah, he lost his shoe for a little bit there. You ever seen a guy kind of keep playing, you know, just one shoe for that long? And just kind of what's going through when
you're... You know, I passed the shoe twice. And, you know, it could have hurt my ankle. So, you know, I had to get it off the court somehow.
Did you play soccer or something? That was quite a kick.
You know what? I did play soccer when I was younger.
Nick Ward, he played soccer when he was younger. Isaac, how about that?
That's your fun fact for the day.
Fun fact for the day. All right, well, we have, 90 seconds left. Here we go, weekend winners.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. That's the great thing about sports.
All right, I've got two weekend winners. Isaac, I'm going with the NFL's Detroit Lions because that was an ugly game. I expected them to lose. I will say Matthew Stafford, he is so tough. The performance that he had despite the hand and with the exception of the interceptions, I mean, that was a gritty performance. The Lions win. They stay in playoff contention. Also, the NFL agreeing to a new 5-year deal worth nearly $2.5 billion with Verizon Wireless. Huge. That is huge. 2.5, yes, billion with a B. The NFL won with that deal. Who do you got?
That's crazy. Victor Oladipo for me, NBA most improved player, wow. Had 47 career high last night. I knew he could sing, but how about him making sweet string music all this last week?
All night long with that effort, that 40-plus point effort. Victor Oladipo, he is good. All right, see you tomorrow, folks. Be easy, people.